Come on in the water. Hello, it is Sharkbait. This is Sharkbait's Chumline podcast for Friday, March 1st, 2013. Today, we wrap up our interview with Angela Villagomez from the Pew Charitable Trust and Shark Defenders. Today, we finally get to that awesomely cute Shark Stanley campaign. And Shark Stanley was a campaign that was run to help raise awareness for CITES and the species involved. So, without further ado, here is part five and the ending to our interview with Angela Villagomez.
And what kind of, I guess, awareness have you guys been trying to do to get the public aware of these sharks and the ray being proposed for CITES? I believe there was the Shark Stanley.
Yep. So for the public, we have a sort of a government outreach campaign, and we have the public side of the outreach. And for the public side, we've partnered up with a number of different organizations on the Shark Stanley campaign. And this was an idea that started at the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies by two students named Leah and Anon. And they came to Pew a few months ago, and they were going to the COP, and they wanted some ideas on how they could advocate for this. And we came up with this idea of a photo petition, because there are lots of online signature petitions.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, there was no way that we were going to get a signature petition that was as large as some of the other organizations. Like, I think, you know, Project Aware has been doing this for a year
right.
and a half, and they have over 100,000 signatures. So, you know, we didn't want to just be another signature, another petition. So we came up with this idea of a photo petition, and the idea of having something in the photo that would mark it as, this is a person who cares about shark conservation. And so the idea was based on the children's book Flat Stanley. And, you know, if you've got maybe nephews or nieces or even your own kids.
Right. It's very popular. Yeah. Take it around the world.
It's a children's book. And it's about this boy. There's like a billboard falls on him and it flattens him, and his brother takes him on all kinds of adventures. And one of the adventures is he puts him in an envelope and mails him to different cool places around the world. And so we thought we could do this with the shark. And, you know, sort of whenever you start these campaigns, you have an idea of, well, I think we'll get a couple countries. We'll get a couple cool people. We'll get, you know, a certain number of supporters. Wow. The actual response totally blew us all away. He's been to 116 different countries.
Wow.
And we're getting close to having.
It's like a 2 months campaign now. So that's amazing.
Yeah. It started at the end of December.
Right.
It just exploded across the globe. And we're getting close to about 10,000 pictures. And, you know, this is not just clicking on a button on a computer and saying, I support this. This is somebody, you know, reading our materials, printing up the shark, cutting it out, taking a photo, and then posting it to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. So the response has just been amazing.
Right. I mean, I think it's an ingenious campaign because, you know, like you said, you kind of get lost with all these petitions to, you know, a lot of us within the industry, you get a lot of these things. Yeah, save the whales, save the sharks, and, you know, even within the shark community, I don't remember what petition I've signed, what group I've been a part of, but when I saw Shark Stanley, it was something, like you said, it's something physical, tangible, you can, you know, you take a picture of it, you have it, and, you know, I think it was just a great marketing tool.
Yeah, and so now what we have to do is we have to take those pictures and actually present them to the representatives at this meeting and get them to vote yes. So the students are taking all the photos and compiling them into collages clustered in countries. And so we'll probably end up with about 150 to 200 pages of these collages. And the hope is that as people flip through this booklet and they, you know, they come to the page from, you know, Uzbekistan, they'll say, oh, those people look like they're from Uzbekistan. and I recognize that landmark in the background, and, you know, you'll come to the Bahamas page and be like, oh yeah, there's Joe. Joe wants to protect sharks. And so not only will the delegates see the people in their country who support sharks, but they'll say, wow, this is a global movement. I have to vote yes.
Right. Now, was there a reason that those particular shark species were chosen for CITES? Was it all based on scientific literature as far as species composition and sustainability?
It's a combination of science and how threatened they actually are than with a dash of politics thrown.
Okay. And basically, if these were to get added to the appendix 2 of the CITES, like what would be the next step then for all these governments? You know, it's all voluntary, but obviously it's binding if they're in CITES and the 2/3 does pass it. Like, well, what would be the next step for, say, United States?
It sort of depends on the country, and the countries are all bound to follow the treaty. But there are sort of slightly different ways that they implement it. So in the United States, a CITES violation is a violation of the Endangered Species Act.
Okay.
Which fines can be significant for the Endangered Species Act. I know that in the Philippines, it's a very similar issue. Whenever a species gets listed at CITES, it automatically becomes listed on the Philippines Endangered Species Act. But it also, even if, you know, for those countries that, say, aren't implementing it as well as the others, they have to export it, right? Because we're talking about international trade. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say the shark is coming from an island in the Pacific and it's being sent to the United States, which has really strong enforcement. The United States will help with enforcement because they're not going to accept the sharks.
Okay.
And so sort of in that way, the countries were makes enforcement easier.
Okay. And have you done a CITES before, or is this going to be your first one?
It's my first one. Okay. I've done some of the regional meetings, so the fisheries meetings, but this is actually my first CITES.
Okay. And how many different organizations are going? Like, I know just for the shark ones, I know there's several organizations involved. Like, you know, obviously you with Pew, Leah with, you know, Shark Defenders.
Yep.
I believe some people from Shark Savers will be going. So I mean, how big of a contingent are we talking about here going over to Bangkok?
It'll be 3,000 people.
Okay, wow.
For the whole convention. And some countries will only send one person. Like, I think Palau is only sending one person or maybe two people, whereas the United States might send 50 to 70 people.
Okay.
And this is the big mother of all endangered species conventions. So any organization, and whether it's an NGO or industry trading in that endangered species, or what trading in species, are going to be at this advocating to vote yes or to vote no.
Okay.
I know, you know, name an international organization that works on endangered species and they will be at this convention.
Okay. Now, generally, you guys all work together. Like again, I know Shark Savers is going over there. Are you working with the people, Shark Savers? Are you all one big group to basically advocate for the protection of these, or you're separate?
To the best of our ability, right?
Okay.
People are people.
So how can people support the conservation things with CITES and find out more about Shark Stanley? Where's the best place for them to go?
So if you'd like to help out with Shark Stanley and learn more, you can visit sharkstanley.com. And whenever I often get the question, what can I do to help protect sharks?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually, the best thing that you can do to protect sharks is not to protect sharks in Abu Dhabi, but actually to protect sharks in your own backyard. And if you're listening to this, there's a good chance that your country is going to the CITES meeting. And you can pick up the phone and you can actually call your CITES delegate and tell them that you support sharks and that you want them to vote yes.
Is there a way people can find out who their CITES delegate is? They don't know.
Yeah, it's listed on all the information on how to advocate within your country is at sharkstanley.com.
Okay, great.
Thanks for taking the time. I enjoy listening to your podcast.
Oh, thank you very much. You're one of only probably a dozen at this point, but, you know, hopefully that'll grow.
Hopefully started somewhere.
All right. Well, thank you for sitting down and talking with us, Angelo. I appreciate it very much. You're a wealth of information, and hopefully we can get you on during the CITES convention so we can kind of get an update and see what's going on and, you know, see how you're finding Bangkok in the whole situation.
Great. Talk to you then.
Okay, that was our show, and that was our week. Thanks immensely to Angelo Villagomez for doing this. This was our little test pilot here for interviews, so he was our guinea pig in this grand experiment. And I learned a lot about some interview techniques that I need to improve on, so appreciate all the help that Angelo and Shark Defenders have done for my little podcast here with all the little shout-outs and the tweets and the posts, so I am forever in your debt, people. So join us next week, where we'll be discussing who knows what, possibly an interview with a diving outfit, and we'll see where we're going to go from there. So have a good week. Time to get out of the water. And as always, Mr. Finn, what do you got to say?
Sharks are awesome.
Oceanic Tiger.